always agitated because of material conditions. Deva, like the demigods. Te, ICC Radha Gopinachi Kija. Te, such persons, Svaridhi, in the core of the heart, Stitam, situated, Na, not, Vidanti, no, Priyam, the dearmost personality of Godhead, Shasvat, constantly, eternally, Atmanam, the supreme personality of Godhead, Kim Uta, what to speak of, Apare, others, like human beings. Can someone move this board back? Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Even though the demigods have the advantages of being situated in the higher planetary systems, their minds, senses, and intelligence are agitated by material conditions. Therefore, even such elevated persons fail to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally situated in the core of their heart. What then is to be said of others, such as the human beings, who have fewer advantages? Purport. It is a fact that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always situated in everyone's heart. Ishwar Sarva Bhutanam Riddeshe Jornatishtati. But because of our material anxieties, which are inevitable in this material world, we cannot understand the Supreme Lord, although He is so situated so near to us. For those always agitated by material conditions, the yoga process is recommended, so that one may concentrate his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart. Dhyana vastita tadgatena manasat pasyanti yam yoginaha. Because in the material conditions, the mind and senses are always agitated by the yoga process such as dharana, asana, and dhyana, one must quiet the mind and concentrate it upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the yoga process is a material attempt to realize the Lord, where bhakti, devotional service, is the spiritual process by which one can realize Him. Maharaj Kadvanga accepted the spiritual path, and therefore he was no longer interested in anything material. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktyamam avijananti. Only by devotional service can I be understood. One can understand Krishna, the Param Brahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only through devotional service. The Lord never says that one can understand Him by performing mystic yoga or by philosophically speculating. Bhakti is above all such material attempts. Aya bilasita sunyam jnana karman and anvritam. Bhakti is uncontaminated, being unalloyed even by jnana or pious activities. Om Agyan Timirandasya Ganajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swampadantikam Bande Hum Shi Guru Shi Yutapadegamalam Shi Gurun Vaishnavam Scha Si rupam sagrajatam sahagana draganatam vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam sarvadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Si radha krishna padam sahagana lalita sri vishakam vitamscha Hey krishna karuna sindhu dina bandhu jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute Tapta Kanchana Kodanki Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataruvischa Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namaho namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Bhagavatananda Siddhaita Gadadhar Sivasiri Gaur Bhaktavindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Maharaj Kadbanga. He's making a nice comparison. His comparison is that even persons such as the devas, demigods, he's just fought on the side of the demigods in this great war. And those are the ones that actually asked him to fight, the devas. And here, he's showing that although they're such powerful beings, no doubt, and they have control, immense control. Prabhupada used to say to demigods, if they want, they can crush you. They have that power. And this little, just like we walk around and there's little insects on the floor. Of course, we're devotees, so we don't harm any living entity. But if you want, you can easily step on an ant or crush a little insect. There's no problem. Prabhupada said the demigods can do that to you. You may not think so, but they can. They're powerful. But here, although they have such great material facilities and such great opportunities for material opulences, wealth, longevity of life, their mind and senses are not peaceful. Here's one of the reasons why, is because they have all this opportunities for material enjoyment. They're devas, they're powerful, and they're working under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they still have desires to enjoy some facility within the material world. So, therefore, Prabhupada used to say, and he said a few times, that many times that the children born in our movement are actually devas. They're coming down from these higher realms in order to take birth in Lord Chaitanya's movement so they can get the best opportunity, the most advantageous opportunity to, what we say, achieve the perfection of life, you know, through the Harisanam Sankirtan movement. So they have too much. So there's two disadvantages materially for what we say, executing bhakti without disturbances or difficulties, and that is having too much and having too little material situations. Too little, if one is not able to eat from day to day, or is struggling with bad health, or so many other things, one's mind will be diverted to these things, and one will not be able to easily focus on the process of bhakti. So it's difficult if one is in need materially. So, but the other side is that if you have too much, you get occupied with these things. You get overwhelmed with these things. You get distracted by these things. And so it's difficult. And these things have a tendency to, when we say, agitate the mind and senses, because there's no perfect material arrangement. The material energy is always changing. It's mutable. So sometimes situations are nice and sometimes they're not. Like I know one very nice devotee. I mean, he practices devotional service, but he's a very big businessman. Extremely big businessman. Not here, but in America. And when his business is in difficulty, it really causes him disturbance. Although he chants, associates with devotees, serves Vaishnavas nicely, does so many things in bhakti, has a wonderful family, still when his business is in problems, it just creates so much disturbance and he can't think about anything else. So it can be like that. So when one has too much or is overly whelmed with these things, it can cause one to make the process of devotional service difficult. unless one is completely detached, which is very difficult when you have so much material things. It's very difficult, but it's possible. But here, the devas are being compared to the human beings who have fewer advantages. And therefore, it says that what is the use of any other process other than bhakti? Prabhupada gives a nice example here in the purport. And we see this in our Krishna conscious movement, especially when I preach in the Western countries. We see that people have a hard time practicing bhakti in and of itself. To sit down, to chant, to be able to read and absorb what you're reading, and to be able to keep the mind focused in our spiritual activities. Because of the, what we say, the agitation of the material energy, due to the association of that material energy, even the process becomes very difficult. And sometimes for some people it's so difficult that it's impossible. I can't chant. My mind is too disturbed. Or I can't read. I fall asleep, or I can't understand anything. So here it's mentioned that there's other processes for quieting the mind, such as, you know, asana, yoga postures, dharana, dhyana. What are these processes? There are rules and regulations that allow one to focus the mind and senses in a direct way on some object, in such a way that one can learn to pull one's mind and senses back away from sense objects. That's the whole thing. It's not really devotional, but it's a preliminary stage where one is allowed to slow down that boat on the, what we say, rocky ocean, so much so that one can start practicing devotional service. Of course, we don't teach these things, but in some cases we find that people can't even practice devotional service. It's so difficult. Due to too much facilities for sense gratification or too much exposure to sense gratification in early parts of one's life, then it becomes really difficult, really difficult. But still, the process is bhakti, ultimately, because these other processes are only, as Prabhupada mentions in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, they're like stages on the ladder of yoga. Yoga is like a ladder, and there's different aspects of the yoga ladder. You know, controlling the mind and senses, renouncing material things, practicing breathing processes, doing asanas, giving in charity, chanting mantras, doing various types of processes in order to free oneself to material attachments and slow the mind and senses down when one can practice the real process of bhakti. But ultimately, as Krishna concludes the 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, after he explains all this, he gives the ultimate process. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatendanat manaham stradavan bhajite nyoman yite me yuktaktamo mataha. That the best of all yogi, or the perfection of yoga, or the goal of all yogas is bhakti yoga. There's no other process. These other processes are simply stepping stones. But Prabhupada has given us, he doesn't give us the stepping stones. He teaches us what the stepping stones are through the various scriptures, but he gives us the direct process of bhakti. We don't go around doing these other things. But we find that unless we become detached from material activities and material attachments, the process of bhakti is very difficult. In fact, it's impossible. As long as one still looks to the material energy for some happiness, one's mind cannot focus completely on the process of bhakti. One may take care of responsibilities in relationship to the material body, and that is called what we say maintenance of one's life in this world. But these things, and the things that are extended from these things, such as, you know, maintaining families and making money and so on, are not the source of happiness, nor will they ever be the source of happiness. No one's happy through these things. So as long as one is still looking towards these things, one cannot practice bhakti. And Prabhupada says that only when you're akinchina gochara, that means when you're finished with material life can you actually practice devotional service. One can still be in association with material things, but still looking towards material things for happiness and fulfillment. That is a different thing. It's the difference between using something for what you need and seeing the same object as a source of enjoyment. That's the only difference, that's all. You know, like some people, they think, well, sleeping is so nice. You know, like, let me just sleep. I get so much pleasure out of sleeping, right? But you're not even awake to enjoy it, right? So how can you get pleasure out of sleep? You're unconscious. So it's a form of ignorance, right? But people like to go to sleep because they think, oh, man, it's just so nice. But the devotee sleeps, why? So they can maintain the body in order to engage in devotional service. It says even the residents of Vrindavan, they take rest at night. When they go take rest, they dream of Krishna, and then when they wake up, and they engage in devotional service as they always have been doing, morning to night. So everyone will require some bodily maintenance, but not as a source of happiness. Not as a source. Even eating. We eat prasadam. Prasadam is enjoyable. No question about that, right? One gets transcendental happiness from eating prasadam. The happiness that one gets from eating prasadam is not material. It's not material. Because Krishna's prasadam is, what we sing, what do we say? Mahaprasade Govinde Namo Brahmani Vaishnave Svalpa Punya Kritam Rajan Vishwaso Naiva Jayate. That verse says that one who has insufficient pious activities cannot appreciate that Govinda and Mahaprasadam are actually transcendental. They're not material. One who has insufficient pious activities. So here, these are examples how maintaining the body or just doing the day-to-day things in order to live in this world is simply a requirement. They're not the source of happiness. But one should keep, what we say, the idea is not too much, not too little. We hear that. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. It's a constant struggle to maintain that balance where one can facilitate one's devotional service. It's a constant struggle. How to balance material responsibilities and material activities with spiritual life. But the balancing act becomes successful when we emphasize spiritual activities. Then through spiritual activities, Krishna gives you the intelligence how to do the rest. He gives you the intelligence how to do the rest. So here, all other process other than bhakti is being thrown out. And that is the nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma Projito Kaitavo. Srimad Bhagavatam explains in the second verse within the first chapter that anything less than pure devotional service is called kaitava. Kaitava means cheating. You're giving something the less than what is the ideal, or something less than what people can be satisfied. We hear that people need less because someone can't begin the real process sometimes. The people say, well, bhakti is too difficult. Just like when Prabhupada came to America, and he was preaching for some time, and there was other yogis, other sadhus who had come from India to engage the Americans in different ways. Because Prabhupada said Americans don't know anything about sadhus or Eastern religion. Anyone who comes, he has a long beard, he can smile nicely, he can chant some mantras, and give some dust or something. And people think, oh, he's a great, he's even, maybe he's an incarnation of God, you know. You know, people don't know. And they take whatever, someone can speak nicely, or someone can do some magic. So, these yogis, some of them were teaching different kinds of yoga. Raja Yoga was very popular, different kinds of Hatha Yoga's programs. So a group of them came to see Prabhupada. When Prabhupada was in America, after Prabhupada had been there for a while, and they wanted to congratulate Prabhupada. They said, Swamiji, they came in as a small group, three or four, I think, and they said, "You have done a miracle. We never thought it would be possible that you could teach these Westerners bhakti yoga, you know, the highest." Prabhupada said, Prabhupada wasn't so much impressed by their, you know, laudations and their eulogies glorifying him. He said, "If you know what is actually the standard, why are you cheating people?" That's what he said. "Why are you giving them something less than the real process?" Just like Bhakti Tirtha Swami. When he's told this story many times. When he was doing yoga under this one teacher, I think he was a Westerner, but he was doing some kind of yoga process. And then one day when Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he was, you know, before he came to Krishna consciousness, he came to this man. The man said, "You know, I can't take you any higher. You are so qualified in what I'm teaching, but I can only take you so far. If you want to learn more of spiritual life, you have to go to the devotees of Bhaktivedanta. They can give you the complete process." Of course, at that time, he didn't know who the devotees of Bhaktivedanta was, but then this was his guru, so his guru was telling him, "I can only take you so far." And so he decided, okay. So he went, and he finally met the devotees, and then he, you know, took to the process of devotional service. So there are so many people who are teaching so many other things less than the reality, or what we say the process that is. And unless one gets the pure process, Ayabilat Sita Sunya Gyana Kamananarvitam, Rupa Goswami gives what is the definition of the pure process. And that is that bhakti is free from the desire for fruit of activity through gain through activities. Which means that you do something to please Krishna, that's all. Krishna is the goal of our devotional service. To please Krishna is actually the goal of devotional service. And by pleasing Krishna, one becomes pleased. That's the secret of bhakti. We want to please ourselves, please Krishna. Or try to please Krishna. Krishna is easily pleased by sincere devotional service. Even if the offering is not perfect, if one is sincerely trying to please the Lord, that is perfection. That is perfection. The intention of bhakti makes the offering acceptable to the Lord. Because in one sense, what can we offer to Krishna? What can he offer? You know, sometimes people think, "Well, I'll give a big donation, you know, to God." God is the one who gave you the money in the first place, so you're just giving it back. Sometimes they say, if you worshiping God is like what people do to worship Ganga. They take Ganges water, and they take Ganga water in their hands, and they chant mantras to Ganga, and they offer the water back to Ganga. This is Ganga and Puja. So what does Ganga need with Ganga water? She's the one that's giving the water. So, but the prayer is the offering, or the sincerity. That is what is being accepted. So that's how bhakti works. We try to please Krishna by what Krishna gives us. What does he give us? He gives us time. He gives us intelligence. He gives us resources. He gives us whatever we have to be used in his service. That's all. And then when it's offered in that way, that is perfection. That's why Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, wanted to show the simplicity of the process. And what is that? Patram pushram pulam tayam nyome bhakti panasyati taraham bhakti upadata asnami vayatat manaha. So Krishna says, these simple things can be offered with devotion, and that makes the offering perfect. But even the grandest, we have the story in Mahabharata, whereas Krishna was in the, you know, he was in the court of the Kurus, the Pandavas there, and Duryodhana knew that Krishna was powerful, and he wanted to somehow or other. Duryodhana was expert at what we say, getting great personalities to do things for him. He did it with Bhishma Dev. He did it with Karna. Now he tried it with Krishna. What was he going to do? He decided to hold this grand celebration in honor of Krishna. And he invited Krishna as the guest of honor. And he had a huge assembly hall all decorated nicely. The finest cooks cooking the finest preparations. Dramatic dancers and singers and magicians and so many other performers. It was a grand celebration to honor Krishna. But Krishna is the indwelling super soul within the heart of everyone. He knew Duryodhana's intention. It wasn't really to honor him, but to get his favor through this. So he didn't show up. He didn't go. Instead, he went to the house of Vidura. And when he knocked on the door, Vidura's wife opened the door. And she became a little bit, what we say, disoriented, not expecting Krishna to come. So she immediately became concerned, what can I offer to Krishna? So she looked around and she found some bananas. That's all she could find. And she took the bananas, and in her excitement to offer Krishna something, she just threw the banana away and she was giving Krishna the peel. She was, what we say, in ecstasy. But don't imitate that. So what happened was Krishna was so happy simply to accept her offerings. He was actually pleased so much because she simply wanted to please him, that's all. It wasn't the offering, it was her devotion. Whereas Duryodhana had the best of all offerings. He could offer even more than what he did. But still, the Lord wasn't so impressed at all. So that's bhakti. And so the point is that bhakti is the nature of the soul to somehow or other please Krishna by one's devotional service. And as Prabhupada mentions in the previous verse, pleasing Krishna means taking on some responsibility to spread Krishna consciousness. He gives the foundation, or the, what we say, the conclusion. That if you really want to please the Lord, you could do many things, and Krishna is pleased. But the Lord has come personally, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to bring the Yuga Dharma, the Harinam Sankirtan movement, to bring the world Krishna consciousness through this process. Anyone who assists Lord Chaitanya in doing that becomes, what we say, recognized by the Lord. Prabhupada says, if you want to be recognized by the Lord, take up the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, and one becomes easily recognized by the Lord. And so we're doing that, but there's no limit. In Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to preach. Why? Because materialistic society has somewhat attracted people's minds away from spiritual life and have created so many apparently interesting things that people can get absorbed in. You know, there's always some new gadgets. In America, someone gave a statistic just recently, not long ago. Every week, 250 new items are manufactured and go to the, what they call the patent office for approval to be put on the market, you know. So there's always somebody trying to make something so they could sell it. There was one man. He made millions of dollars simply by making a little insulated bag to put pizza in. So you call up the pizza shop and you say, send me a pizza. And so they send it to you, and by the time it gets to you, it gets cold. I remember that. We used to order pizza. And so what happened, when man was intelligent, so he made this casing where you could put the pizza in it and it stays as hot as it is when it leaves the restaurant. He made millions of dollars. He became a millionaire just making a case for pizza. So people are thinking how to make money. They're always thinking, they're always creating these new little gadgets, you know. toys for kids or something. They're always coming and trying to come up with something. So the world is full. You just go to the stores, you can see there's just so much junk, right? Just junk. You know, I go to people's houses, the kids, they got a whole room full of toys. Hundreds of toys. Some kids are just like, you know, it's just like, and they want another toy. And the parents are thinking, all right, we'll buy them another one. You can't even walk. You know, there's toys all over the floor, there's toys on the shelf. And the kid just plays with it for a little while and goes to the next toy, right? Gets tired of one toy, goes to another. So the world is so full of what we say material things, and it's being, and so, and people are fascinated by such things. Oh, what new computer will come out? What new facilities will that computer have? You know, let's check it out. This, that is always something new. New technology, new inventions, new ways to do the same thing. Right? That's all it is. It's just new ways to do the same thing. Prabhupada said, you know, walk on your hands, but just do something different, right? Just change. But devotional service never changes. It's the same stuff. You can repackage it in such a way that people think it's something new, so you can present it to people in such a way that they're thinking they're getting something different. But it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. What is the same thing? You know, worship the Lord, surrender to the Lord, chant the Lord's name, engage in the Lord's devotional service. Manmana bhava madbhakto, mam yaji mam namaskuru. These are the four things that make up devotional service. So, you know, the acharyas are always thinking how to repackage it in some way, in such a way that people will become interested in it. You know, in the West, we're always thinking how to present Krishna consciousness to different types of people, so they actually see that it's something they're familiar with or something they're interested in. But it's the same thing. That never changes. Surrender to Krishna, engage in devotional service, think of Krishna. That's the same thing. That's the goal. So the process is simple. Sometimes devotees say, well, we hear that the process is difficult and that the process is simple. And Prabhupada actually makes one statement. It's interesting to note. He says that some say Krishna consciousness is difficult and some say it's easy. Prabhupada says it's both easy and difficult. So what is it? Is it easy or is it difficult? Prabhupada said, it's difficult. No, let me go the other way. It's easy if you're determined. And if you're not determined, it's difficult. So that's the difference. The process is simple, but it requires certain ingredients. And one is enthusiasm and determination and patience. This is what makes the process easy. If you're enthusiastic, you're determined. That means determination means you're willing to tolerate the difficulties and stay fixed in the process despite maybe slips or fall downs or when we say obstacles. Continue to practice. Continue to have faith in the program. And be patient that Krishna will, what we say, give the results of one's activity in due course of time. Krishna is purifying the heart. But he will awaken pure love of God in your heart when he's pleased by your determined effort to serve him. So to remain steady in devotional service is a great opulence, one who can do that year after year after year despite the difficulties and the obstacles. This morning I was chanting japa and I was just thinking of what the class yesterday and how Govinda was explaining that verse about tolerance and how Krishna was explaining that when you come to devotional service, it's not like everything becomes easy. You have to learn how to tolerate. Tolerance is still there. but it sometimes it takes another feature that we have to tolerate so many things. But still, one accepts that one has to tolerate, then toleration is no longer a difficulty. It's just a part of the process, that's all. Oh, I have to tolerate. Tolerate, you know, extremes in weather, we have to tolerate other living beings, we have to tolerate our own mind, we have to tolerate the happiness that is being presented to us in the form of material activities. We have to tolerate so many things, this process of tolerance. So through tolerance and remaining determined in the process of devotional service, one can, what we say, access the complete mercy of the Lord. And we are trying to please Krishna, that's all. Mm-hmm. That's the process. How to please Krishna, that's all. And Krishna is pleased by sincere devotional service. It's not so much the service you're doing. If you're sincerely trying to please Krishna through the service, you're trying to serve Krishna's devotees, you're trying to somehow or other be an instrument to spread Krishna consciousness, Krishna is pleased. That's all. Krishna is pleased. And when Krishna is pleased, what happens? He explains that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You get two things. You get knowledge of him, and you get freedom from material attachments. He cuts away those attachments that keep us, what we say, stuck in the material energy. But he gives us knowledge of himself. He gives us, what we say, the understanding of our relationship with him. It's a gradual process. So bhakti is pure. And all other processes are meant to lead one to the plus stage of coming to bhakti. But we're not interested in going through these other processes. We may use it as preaching tools to attract people. But ultimately we know that the process is to glorify the Lord by chanting his holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Ram, Hare. And serving devotees. Two things were emphasized by Lord Chaitanya. Nam Ruchi, develop a taste for chanting by chanting regularly. By regular chanting, we develop a taste for chanting. And serve Vaishnavas, that's all. And serve devotees in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And the third thing is jivadoya. Be merciful to others by giving them Krishna consciousness. Practice friends, family members, and others. Give them Krishna consciousness. Okay, any questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu. No microphone today? Okay. Yeah. The question is, even though we slip and fall, Prabhupada said to fall down is third class, to get up is first class. It's natural. A child has the walking propensity within them. So through practice, it comes out. But the child in the beginning will fall. And it's always helped by its mother or holding on to something. The child can't learn, can't walk in the beginning. But if it keeps practicing, as Prabhupada said, that propensity is there to walk. So our propensity to love Krishna is natural. So it has to come out through the process of bhakti. So never become discouraged from fall down. Learn from your mistakes. We should try to learn. But habit is second nature. So we do things out of habit. And therefore, we sometimes find ourselves again making the same mistake again. So what is the way to overcome that is having good association. And carefully understanding how to execute bhakti. Anukulena and pratikul. Means remembering what to apply and remembering what to avoid. We have to avoid certain things. We have to apply certain principles like that. So that's that we can get by reading the scriptures, by hearing from you know, the spiritual masters. We can hear regularly. We can learn what to avoid and what to take on. But don't get discouraged. You know, if we get discouraged, that means we're thinking that, you know, I can do it. We should try our best, but we know that when Krishna is pleased, we become successful. Yeah. Bhakti is not something you can do. It's something you can, what you do when you're executing, that you access Krishna's mercy, and by Krishna's mercy you become successful. So we're praying for the mercy. Sometimes we fail so many times, then we think, oh, I gotta pray. Right? We're going along. When we fail enough times, we realize there's nothing else that's gonna work except prayer. I remember Radhana Swami tells one story of his childhood in Chicago. It's a nice little story. I remember him telling this story. Chicago is situated in a cold place in America. It's situated in the northernmost part of America, North America, just below Canada. And it can get pretty cold there sometimes. So Maharaj was telling how when he was a little boy, they had a cold spell in Chicago. And it got so cold. I don't know what it was in Celsius, but in Fahrenheit degrees, it was like, you know, it was like 30, 40 below zero Fahrenheit. So that's like really, really cold. I mean, everything stops. You know, the roads, there was snow on the ground. It became so cold that people couldn't even keep their self warm in their own houses. The heating wouldn't even keep them. So they were taking people out of the houses, putting them in big gymnasiums and heating, getting big heaters and so many things. To people have to live in gymnasiums, big halls. And it went on for weeks, and there was no break in the cold. And as Maharaj was explaining this story, he said, finally the governor of the state of the Illinois got on the radio and said, we have tried everything to counteract this cold. There's only one thing left to do. Let's pray. So, you know, when the materialists run out of their proud programs, then they start praying. But a devotee knows, you know, without prayer, what can you do? God is all powerful. And if the prayer is sincere, it's like, you know, we're struggling. And we're trying to chant our rounds. We can't hear, or the mind is going this way or that way. My dear Lord, we just offer some sincere prayer. You know, help me to chant your name. And then somehow or other, by that prayer, we find some mercy coming. So when Krishna is pleased, we receive the success of devotional service. So every time you fall down, get up. That's Prabhupada's statement. Don't stay down. But learn. We have to learn from our fall downs. Mm-hmm. Try to learn, you know. That's all. Try to avoid those things that cause us to slip, you know. Does that answer your question? Okay. Yes? Well, the question was how to get the desire to please the Lord, right? That's basically your question. Someone asked me a question that is similar. They said, you know, in preaching, you have to have some feeling for preaching people you're preaching for. In other words, some concern for their suffering. Because that inspires you to preach. So when a person asks me the question, well, I don't have any compassion, what do I do? I say, my answer was, and this is the answer that's standard answer, is the great souls, they have compassion for the fallen souls. So you want to please them. So by doing what they ask you to do, that pleases them. So therefore, even if you don't have compassion, try to please them, that's all. So in the same way, you want to please the Lord, or you want to engage in service that pleases the Lord, just please the spiritual master. Or please that devotee who is trying to assist you in spiritual life. He's giving you some guidance, he's giving you some instructions. Try to please him, that's all. And by pleasing him, you please Krishna, because he's acting as Krishna's instrument to engage you in devotional service, that's all. Krishna seems so far removed from us, but if we please the immediate person who we're dealing with, that is as good as pleasing Krishna. But how to get that desire? How to get that desire? Well, pray for it. Pray for the desire and also chant the holy names. By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we purify our heart and these desires start to awaken. Spiritual desires are there within the heart. The heart's covered by material coverings. The holy name destroys these coverings and then these desires become awakened. So two things. Prayer, chanting is also praying, but also we can offer a sincere prayer, asking for something that is beneficial for our execution of devotional service. That's all. What is our situation? I mean, we come to devotional service for different reasons. And basically, we're coming because we're not happy with material life. That's basically. So we're trying to find happiness in spiritual life. So we might think, now if you look at it from that point of view, it's self-focused, self-centered. It's my happiness, spiritual life. But that's okay. Krishna says that person is a Mahatma. But ultimately, what is spiritual life about? It's about pleasing Krishna. But I become happy by pleasing Krishna. So my happiness is already included within that. You don't have to worry about that. That's all. Mm-hmm. Here comes a question. Let's see. Hare Krishna. Dandavat Swamiji, Hare Krishna. Please tell me how to always remember that we are not this body and we are soul when we go out of temple. When we go out of the temple, Maya attacks us and we forget that we want to please Krishna and our minds fluctuate. It's difficult to chant and read and understand Krishna consciousness outside the temple, specifically in association of non-devotees. Yeah, it is. It is difficult. It is a challenge. The temple's here to inspire us, but Prabhupada would also say, make your home a temple. When you get up in the morning, you know, if you can come to the temple every day, that's nice, but also we should have a spiritual shelter outside of the temple, somewhere in our home where we can go and we have deities or pictures, take shelter there. When you're out there, you have to do your business and you have to you have to be in the same association as the non-devotees. So how do you deal with that? Keep Krishna foremost. Try to remember Krishna in all circumstances. Practicing remember Krishna. But also know that in association of the non-devotees, you can see, or at least you can try to unsee, that, you know, this is Maya. And that what they're doing is I'm also doing, But they're doing it for happiness. I'm doing it simply to maintain my life. I have some responsibilities, some necessities like that. So try to practice detachment in association of non-devotees and attach yourself to Krishna. We chant our rounds in the morning, we go out, and then we should be somewhat fixed in our consciousness. Maya wears on us, makes us forget. Our consciousness fluctuates, as you mentioned in the letter. The mind fluctuates. So, practice remembering Krishna. Carry a book with you. Chant slokas. Do something to keep your mind connected to Krishna, even while you're out there. And realize, or at least try to understand, that this material world is not our home. It's a bad bargain. You got cheated. You went shopping and you came here. And there's no sale. The sale's over. And all you do, you're paying on the layaway plan. And the layaway plan is for the rest of your life. And you'll never get the merchandise anyway. They cheated you. That's the material world. So we have to, you know, not become, what we say, enamored by Maya. Maya means what is not. That's one an example. That's the definition of Maya. Maya means what is not. Maya exists, but what she presents as sources of success and happiness is not what it is. That's all. Try to see through or see the reality. Therefore, we should be Shastra Chakshus, seeing through the words of the spiritual master, seeing through the words of scripture. If we become like everyone else while we're out there, then what's the use of our going to the temple? It's just, you know, it's just some ritual. We come here to get purified, not just to see the deity, but to hear the philosophy and to chant the holy names. There are people who come to temples. We call them Dandavat Babas, you know. You know what a Dandavat Baba is? Bhaktisiddhanta talks about them. They come, they're not interested in hearing. They come, take darshan of the deity, offer some prayers for better family life, and go, you know. Dandavat Babas. But that is not our movement. Our movement is to Shravanam Kirtanam, to hear and chant the glories of the Lord.